Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Book Wars Pod. I'm Kate and I'm here with Chris and Kristen as usual, and today we are starting a new book. Yay! So today we're going to be talking about A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller, and we're going to be discussing through chapter 17. And if you've been listening to previous episodes, you may know that I am the most excited to be discussing this book because I am a piece of human garbage canary shipper. And this is the story of how Kane and Jarrus and Harrison Dula met. And it is extremely important to me, especially as we go into season 4 of Star Wars Rebels, whenever the hell they feel like announcing the release date. Not bitter, Dave Filoni.
I can't believe they still haven't announced it. We've like been
in the bonkers.
We've like been talking about how they haven't announced it for like 5 weeks, and it's like it's supposed to be out in September.
Yep, they announced the that they're when the release date is for the fucking season 3 DVD, but that's like it.
Great, thank you guys so much for doing that.
God, I know. I was just like, anyway. Before we get into me just straight screaming,
yeah, this is gonna be the trash fire, like, arc of the pod. It's fine.
Hey, sure. Excuse you.
There isn't even that much with the two of them during this part of the book. I'm not even that worried yet.
But there's so much to mine on.
I was so tempted to end our, like, aside, cause, like, so... a little behind the scenes content, hashtag content for our listeners. I'm generally the one who like parses out what we're reading and like goes through picks chapters and like pages and whatever.
So if you think we're like doing this in badly sized chunks, scream at Chris.
Oh, definitely. Hey, please do.
Anyway.
But
there's no one who thinks we're doing this in badly sized chunks. Stop being mean to your husband.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I hate the size of your chunks.
I love you.
That got weird.
Sorry.
Anyway, I was choosing where I've read A New Dawn before, so I was choosing like how, you know, big sections we were going to read of this book, and we read through chapter 17, and Kanan and Hera don't meet until the very end of chapter 15. Ugh. When Kanan kind of sees and hears Hera for the first time. And I was so tempted to just cut us off right there and make us stop reading right there just to fuck with people.
See, I
and by
like,
people, I mean Kate. Let's
be
clear.
See, I like Kanan. If you had done that, I like Kanan would have been disgusted with the galaxy.
Oh my god, you people.
Which is one of my favorite phrases of all time right now.
All right, come on, Kate, ask us what we're drinking.
Yes, I was going to, and then you bothered me. What are you drinking, Kristen?
I'm drinking three-way again, and I will actually tweet out a picture this time of it. I'm going to take it right now so I don't forget. But yeah.
Well, I mean, luckily we haven't aired the last one where you said you'd tweet out a picture, so nobody knows that you fucked
actually,
up.
Actually,
we
did.
No, we did.
Oh, was
we
it
did
2 weeks
that
ago?
One. That was two weeks ago.
Oh, damn it. Get on your shit, Kristen. Jesus.
I've never once ever been on my shit. Hey, whatever. I finally went to the psychiatrist today, so everybody, so I get a cookie.
Yeah.
You do. Also, you had the outline open before we got home from dropping off our hamster with a hamster sitter, so...
Listen. I'm really trying. I still haven't read it, but...
Yeah, that's how you knew we were
late. Yeah.
We are drinking the same thing that we were drinking last episode, last week. It was actually a couple days ago. which is a Flying Dog Brewery Sunflower Pils.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah. It's great. It's beer-tastic. Keeks, what did Rainier do to you? Did it kick your dog?
No, I love Rainier. I have so much of it, but I had a lot of nice beer in my fridge, so I wanted to start drinking it because I kept running out of Rainier and then having to buy more Rainier instead of drinking anything else that was in my fridge. So I've been drinking the nicer beer.
That's fair.
I was really thinking about getting a Rainier, though, but this is my first beer of the day, so I was like, I have to start with something a little bit nicer. Oh, don't worry. I had rosé with lunch. So.
As you do.
Well, yeah, I needed to.
Friday.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, so why don't you tell us about the state of the Empire?
Yes, let's do a little bit of establishing where and when we are during the timeline.
We're 9 years? 9 years after Order 66,
I think.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Seven, eight, nine, ten. Yes, we are 9 years.
So we're 9 years after Order 66, which puts us 10 years before A New Hope and Rogue One, which puts us 5 years before the start of Star Wars Rebels on Disney XD.
Six.
6 years?
It's 6 years.
6 years. Apologies. 6 years before Star Wars Rebels on Disney XD.
I know, this backwards and forwards right here, this little chunk of time.
Yep. So basically, the Kanan and Hera that we meet in the first episode of Star Wars Rebels obviously have known each other for 6 years because they meet right here. But, I mean, 9 years is a long time. So we're, like, pretty entrenched in the Empire. And, like, as, you know, I think kind of gets talked about a little bit, the Empire has done a really good job of, like, erasing the remnants of the Old Republic.
Like, a really good job. Even if we talk about the little details of, what's his name, Skelly?
Mm-hmm. Skelly.
He's living in, like, the equivalent of, like, a veteran's home from the Clone Wars, and the Empire has just, like, not bothered to, like, help or fix it up at all.
Right. I thought that was so fascinating, because we never really hear about those people, you know, those regular people who are Clone Wars veterans. You know, obviously a lot of the Jedi are, but not people like Skelly, who clearly have PTSD and some other stuff going on with them.
Several things.
Yeah, I really want to know who the shitty general is that got him, that like made him lose his hand.
I know.
Because he was like, he lost his hand because of like a shitty general and a shitty battle plan. Like,
Krell.
Yeah, probably.
Yo, that'd be pretty funny if it was Krell. It probably was. It could have been Krell. Well, I don't know that we ever find out what planet Skelly was on, or we could look it up, but.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
Speaking of planets.
We can find out more about him, because obviously he's not a clone, so we don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of planets, so we're on Gorse. Gorse and Cinda, technically, but Gorse is the main populated planet, whereas Cinda is kind of the mining moon.
Right.
But stupid and Gorse is in the inner rim, right?
Stupid I think question. It is.
Do we know these planets?
Yeah. No, they're new.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
This is our first experience with them. But it's in the inner rim, which is kind of interesting, because like, it seems like kind of a very like shitty, lawless world and very like on brand for the outer rim. But inner rim means it's like close to like Coruscant, Alderaan, Hosnian Prime, the core area.
Well, you have to remember that Cinda used to be a tourist attraction before they fucked it up.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I can see wealthy people wanting to just go look at even more pretty shiny things.
That's fair.
So, anyway.
As a true. I love person, the, like... That's what I like to do.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
You own many leather-bound books, Keeks.
Yep, yeah, I know it. Can't even read. It's...
You have no eyes.
You pay someone to read to you.
That's right.
Jesus.
Sorry.
But, like, I kind of like the, like, day-to-day look at the Empire we're getting. Because, like, we've gotten a little bit of that in, I guess a little bit in Rebel Rising, but, like, that's obviously much more of a, like, on the run, you know, from an Outlaw's perspective.
Totally.
Thrawn, we, you know, as we talked about, we get the day-to-day of an Imperial officer. But we don't really get the day-to-day of somebody who just lives under the Empire, who lives in this authoritarian regime. And, like, here we have, like, tourist attractions. And, like, this is just, like, an inner rim planet where, like, nobody's seen a Star Destroyer before.
Right. And also, you know, we don't really see a lot of normal people, you know, just everyday citizens who just have other jobs besides, I run a cantina or I run a, you know, fruit stand in the middle of the marketplace in Lothal.
Diner.
Or, and, like, everybody else is like, I'm an Imperial officer, or I used to be a Jedi, like, or I'm a rebel. Like, there's nothing that, like, day-to-day about any of that. And here we get a whole collection of people. And obviously Skelly's one of them, but I actually want to talk a little about Zaluna, because I think what she does is super fascinating in terms of how far the Empire's reach is, how far they want to take it, because they've literally just set up this whole entire fucking Big Brother system, and it's kind of creepy.
Well, they didn't really set it up, though, I thought.
That's true, like, they bought it.
Yeah, because, like, Zaluna was saying that, like, oh, God, I don't remember the name of the company. Transept.
Yeah.
Transept Information was, like, they were basically, like, big data in the Empire, like, on Gorse. I think it's exclusively on Gorse. But it's, like, fascinating that, like, I mean, it's kind of like terrifying because, like, the authoritarian regime doesn't come in at, like, you know, newborn and needing to create itself. It just takes over the existing infrastructure. Like, the Republic took it over during Clone Wars, and then the Empire took it over and expanded it. So that's, like, always super interesting that, like, day-to-day citizens are just having their conversations recorded.
Right.
Yep. Can you guys explain Minox? I kept reading that, and I was like, these are not the same Minox that I know.
Those are those I know things inside.
Yeah, no, I know, but why were they talking about Minox? I was so confused.
Oh, because they're just, like, lurking on the walls and listening.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm stupid. Thank you.
No, it's good. Oh, it's just a nickname for her little spy people.
Oh, my God. Okay, got it. Sorry. I was like, it's good. Those were not... Oh, my God, my brain. Okay,
thank you. That took me a minute.
Thank you for clarification.
I love you.
Also, her name's like Zaluna Meyer or something.
Miter.
Yeah.
Just sort of like reminded me of, like, I don't know. It reminded me of Veep for some reason, and it made me laugh.
Selena Meyer.
For no reason at all.
That's why.
Selena Meyer.
Nice. Well,
that's right. Then I thought her name was Selena Meyer, and then I thought I remembered her name was Selena Kyle, and I'm like, no, that's Catwoman. Hang on.
That's not right.
Selena
Meyer's correct.
My brain went on a whole journey. Yeah, Selena Meyer. Thank you.
Can you please, for the love of God, just get your fandom straight for once on the pod?
Oh my God. This is now Veep Pod. You missed it, Kate. Sorry.
Yep. Well, to bring us back to Star Wars, one non sequitur that I just fucking loved is that apparently basilisks are just really good at cooking diner food.
Right?
Yes, I know. I was dying. God.
There are exactly two basilisks in the Star Wars universe that own diners, yep. And it's the best.
Yep.
It's great. One of them is really mean, though, apparently.
Yeah. That bit where he, like, drags Kanan back in the diner because Kanan forgot to pay his bill, and he's just like, but the pretty girl, and he's just like, no, pay your fucking bill or rip your arms out, and I was just like...
I also love it because, what's his name, like, Drac or something?
Oh God, I don't
remember his name. Like, but it's I don't know, it's something, and I'm just like picturing him as this, like, big Russian accented, doesn't talk very much, like, diner owner. Like, you pay bill.
He's the soup correct. Nazi.
He's the soup Nazi.
That's right.
He's the soup Nazi.
Exactly right.
That's fantastic. Okay.
Sorry, I took us way off track.
No, it's fine.
You brought
See?
Us back to
this
Star Wars happened. Though.
See, turnabout's fair play, though, because this is what we usually do to you when you try to lead the discussion.
Yeah, karma.
So that's it's all good. Just going back to what you were saying about surveillance, and you're right. It's kind of interesting that we see the Empire just hiring these. I think Zaluna says they used to be a market research company, and it's just. It's another way that Star Wars kind of takes our world and just, like, hyper-extends it into the future, and it's just, like, you could actually see this happening. I just keep thinking about, okay, I'm sorry, I keep talking about politics on this fucking pod, but I just keep thinking about the FBI, like, is it the FBI who's trying to get access to every single IP address that was on the Disrupt J20 website, the protest website for the Trump
and sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Like, again, they don't have to go and look for dissenters. They just have to go pull some fucking data from a website because, yay, technology.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I wonder, like, what the setup is with that. Like, you said now they're working for the Empire, and I'm like, are they really working for the Empire? I'm sure the Empire is, like, paying them, but it doesn't really seem like they had a choice, obviously, in the matter.
Does anyone really have a choice?
I would say they're employed by the Empire. How about that?
Yeah.
Sure. Cool.
Yeah. That's legit. So that's kind of like a fancy, like, an interesting kind of, like, fancy office job, which we don't really see a whole lot of. Yeah. But on the other side of it, we once again have a pre-original trilogy book. And of course, we are once again talking about mining.
Yep.
Right.
Very important.
It is.
I kind of love that, though, because, like, and...
I mean, it's not a complaint.
Yeah. No, Baby Bird's going to geek out, but it's, like, it's like, I don't know, as somebody who's, like, very interested in, like, logistics and, like, strategy and stuff like that, like, the number one reason why empires fall is because, like, supply lines aren't, like, strong enough and, like, like shitty like trade wars and like making sure that you like your industries are able to like trade and thrive. God, there was like 6 likes in the space of 10
Chris,
seconds.
Don't think about guys, if you're playing, just keep going.
Don't play the drinking game.
Don't do it.
But it's really interesting to me because we see so many of these like mining disputes and just all of this, you know, whether it's Dunium or I can't even think of anything else. It's Thorolite in this one. Whether it's Dunium or whether it's Thorolite or whether it's something else.
What's the like, Thorolite for? I like
they
sure
are
they said it.
Going to talk about it, but it's not a spoiler. Okay. It basically is like something that creates a very specific part of Star Destroyers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just interesting to me because that is what it's like to run an empire and to be the day-to-day under an empire. The empire doesn't care about its people. It cares about money and it cares about its resources. And so that's the number one thing that everybody's going to be talking about.
Sure. And, you know, we the books keep talking about how the empire keeps making all these land grabs in the hopes that they're going to strike another, you know, vein or whatever it is of whatever resource they happen to need at the time. And that's the only reason to make a land grab, really.
I mean, yeah, in this, I mean, we can say resource, but that can be anything from something that they mine out of the ground to people they can use, et cetera, or beings they can use.
That's a great point.
Yeah, totally. It kind of...
I'm just thinking like Mandalore.
Totally.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and this is kind of, in hindsight, goes back to Thrawn and like how they just kept putting him on like pirates and smugglers. Like that was actually the really important stuff. Like, he was coming to power as a Grand Admiral in a time when there wasn't really an organized rebellion. And so putting him on the resource protection and the efficiency, you know, maximizing the efficiency of the Empire was actually the important job. And so it's just kind of interesting to look back in hindsight at that book and at the situations that Thrawn was in and just think about it from that angle.
Now we're going to talk about Vidian, but let's just talk about Vidian now because you said efficiency.
Let's do
yes,
it.
Yes, let's do it.
Forget the old way of Vidian outline.
Right. Wait, can I just tell people what my note for Vidian is on the outline?
Please.
I mean, I'm tempted to say no just so they have to sit with that cliffhanger.
Aww. That's mean.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
My note for what we're going to talk about Vidian is the Empire's other favorite half-cyborg, scary-looking motherfucker.
Yep.
I mean, it's not wrong.
It's real.
Anyway, how about it go?
He's weird. He's a weird character.
Right?
No, I was I was giggling that he, like, has a really short temper. Like, they were like, and then he destroyed his room. He has no bed because he broke it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That sure. Yeah. I mean, that checks out, but like also I was not expecting that tidbit of information about him.
Oh my god, yeah. It's just fascinating how they keep dropping these things about like violence he commits. I love how Miller just he just describes them real fast because that's just how fast they happen. You know, and then you just kind of have to pause and be like, "Wait, what the fuck?" Like when he kills the guild leader. Yeah, the guild leader. He just kills him with his hands, literally, and it's just like, wait, he dead? Like what?
Yeah,
no, literally murdered. It's just it's
like we get to. Sorry, Chris. Let me make one tiny point. We get to process it at the same time as we find out Vidian like downloads everything that happened during the day that he records with his eyeballs, not eyeballs, and then like that's sort of how Miller decides to like. Have us remember that actually happened, like remind us that it happened. He's like, killing the guild leader, you're just going to delete that out of the old memory bank. And I'm like, oh my fucking God.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, he's wild. A fun one to kind of picture as you read him because it almost makes him more interesting because we're so used to the Star Wars villain of like, you know, that brilliant genius who's evil and who just like lurks around and like sees everything that's wrong, but you never know when he's going to kill you until you're just already dead. Whereas Vidian, no, he's just going to murder you. Like, he's an evil genius. He knows exactly what's going on. But he's also just going to murder you. And it kind of, like, in a weird way makes him more unexpected.
He's kind of like Vader in that respect, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of, but Vader is much...
about him.
Yeah, I feel like Vader's much more sinister, though. Like, Vidian is... I don't see Vidian as sinister. I see Vidian as aggressive. Whereas Vader is like... Because even if he kills you, like, Vader's not going to, like, pummel you into the ground. Vader's going to kill you in a way that everybody else is like, oh, shit. Oh, shit, what's he doing? Oh, shit, what's he going to do? Like, because he'll just force choke you, and everybody's like, he's not touching you. Why are you... What are you doing? Oh, you're just literally dead. Okay, that's fine.
Nice. He's so just giggling about murder.
Sorry for giggling about murder. I'm just thinking about Vader and how funny he is in all of the... When he's, like, killing everybody in the same line of... I wish I knew more about the Navy and ranks and stuff. Because he just, like, will literally replace the name of the person that he killed. Like, replace the rank of the person below
him. Oh, killing all the admirals, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Empire so Strikes good. Back. It's my favorite part of Empire Strikes Back.
I love it. And I think that's the Star Wars I watch the most lately. So has been top of mind for me. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
Sorry.
It is interesting to see Vidian as, like, because we've talked about how the Emperor is very human supremacist, and the Empire itself is very human supremacist. And we talked a lot about that in Thrawn.
Right, which is why I'm so fascinated by how high up Vidian... The book's leading us up to learn more about Vidian, and it hints at what his... That he has some sort of deeper connection to Goris, and I'm sure we'll find that out, but... Yeah, that
well,
is...
And he doesn't even have a naval rank. He's something...
He's a
fixer.
Okay. He's a count. Okay. I was going to say, they call him my lord, and I'm like, fucking, I don't remember. Just makes me think of Game of Thrones. I'm like, oh, he could have any title. I just have to call him my lord.
I know, right? Literally everyone is my lord. It's fucking stupid.
But the only people who are my lord in Star Wars so far before this have been Palpatine, Vader,
and...
The Emperor.
Thank you. Yeah, no,
yeah.
I said Palpatine.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of my lord.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
That is actually really interesting because you get sense, you know, you in Bloodline we got a lot of the sense of how different planets arrange their political structures. Like, you know, some of them have nobility and so on and so forth, but nobody really talks about that. It just kind of happens.
Right.
So, which is fascinating.
It is kind of, it's very interesting. Well, it's very, like, you know, old England. It's like, it doesn't exist anymore, but
still those
titles sort of exist or something.
Right.
Yeah, you just see a fancy looking person, you call him my lord, totally.
No, thanks,
but it is, yeah, totally. It is interesting, though, because, like, clearly he's, like, not really human anymore, but, like, he's still in the Emperor's graces right now, and it kind of, like, reinforces the whole Thrawn thing, where, like, if you can do it, like, the Emperor's going to give you a chance, because the Emperor, at the end of the day, only cares about his power, and he'll tokenize the shit out of you, but...
It's true.
I don't know, it's just kind of, like, interesting to think. I don't know that I even have a point, it's just interesting to think about.
Yeah.
That is something that I'm sure we'll want to revisit as we learn more about Vidian.
I do always enjoy, like, imagining Vidian, though, because, like, I'm, like, in my head, he's, like, his limbs are kind of very similar to Grievous.
Yeah.
And his face is, like, human, but only on his face part, not on, like, the other, like, sides of his head.
Yeah.
And his mouth doesn't move, and he just has this, like, beautiful, deep baritone, like, Peter O'Toole voice, and, like, while he's murdering people.
Oh, my God.
But his eyes are, like, crazy. Like, I imagine his eyes like Grievous's.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yes. But, like,
or, like,
Thrawn
Darth
coloring. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I was actually poking around the internet because I was wondering if someone who's significantly more artistic skill than me did any fan art of Vidian, and I couldn't really find that much. There's, like, two really good ones, and then there's nothing, and I was just like, fandom, you're letting me down.
I know, right? I was a little disappointed in that, too.
If you draw some really good Vidian fan art, we'll literally mail you something.
Yeah, we will. I don't know what it'll be, but we've got fun.
I've got Star Wars.
Promise you, you will get something.
I swear it's a real thing.
Anyway. No, they do have prizes. I know that for a fact.
Yes.
They hoard Star Wars prizes for reasons.
Because I just think about Patreon, even though it's not going to happen for another 3 years. Anyway.
All right, so let's cut the bullshit and get to the part of the podcast that Kate wants to talk about.
Hey. There's still some points.
Oh, okay.
I guess these are related. So let's talk about Kanan and Hera.
Oh, really?
Guys, I've been really good this whole recording, okay? There was not a lot of like high-pitched noises. I'm doing my best. So in A New Dawn, Hera's 18 and Kanan's 22, and again, this is 6 years before the start of Star Wars Rebels. So they're kind of far away from being the space parents that we know and love. They're significantly well less adjusted, significantly in Kanan's case, because oh my god. But I just want to talk a little bit, we'll talk about this more later, I'm sure, but I just want to start talking a little bit about their character arc. Where we see them starting out in A New Dawn and where we see them ending up in Rebels. And of course they change throughout the course of the series and we can talk about that too. But what I think is interesting is that aside from a lot of the main players in the Skywalker saga, so that's obviously Anakin, Obi-Wan, Luke, Leia, and Han, Kanan and Hera get one of the longest character arcs in probably the entire Star Wars canon, if you think about it, because Hera starting out 10 years before the Battle of Yavin, and we know that she's alive during Return of the Jedi, which is a really long time, and Kanan's somewhere in there, maybe. He's totally gonna die next season, guys. Anyway, it's a long time, so I just, yeah, let's talk about character development.
It's just interesting because, I mean, Kanan, particularly with the intro of the kind of the prologue to the book where you see him as Caleb Doom, this like tiny Jedi child who's like precocious and like annoying as shit, but also that's a good point that nobody thought of.
Right.
That, like, ends up actually saving a lot of lives.
He's that guy in your class.
Yeah, like, because you kind of get that reference of like, Obi-Wan knows to warn the Jedi away in Revenge of the Sith because Caleb told him to.
Right. Which is kind of nuts.
Yeah. And so it's
super
like...
nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so you have him like as a child, which is like really interesting because you see the multiple stages of his development and, you know, not to spoil it, but after this, we're actually going to read the Kanan comic books that Marvel put out toward when Rebels came out for the first time. And you see him as a youngling, you see him as a Padawan, and then you see him totally lose his way, and then you see him find his way again in Rebels and become a father figure and a space husband, as Kate screams silently into the void.
If y'all can see my face right now, it's just, like, not good. He becomes a Jedi again, which he's completely repudiated that at this point in his life.
Yeah, I mean, he has one already.
I'm gonna kill you. Shut up.
Already, Kristen, and we Kristen don't even.
We know it's like Chris and Doc. Go.
It's fine. Already, I mean, we have one of the better redemption arcs in Star Wars.
Oh God, yeah.
Because totally. Say what you will about the Vader redemption arc, it's hot garbage. shots fired. Whatever. We get 15 seconds of screen time about him being like, I'm coming back to the light, and you're like, okay.
Wow.
So, I knew Chris was gonna get so mad. Okay. Listen.
Damn.
Oh my god. Okay. I should say one of the more satisfying redemption arcs because we actually see the whole thing happen and we actually understand what this character is struggling with and seeing and hearing and going through, and we have multiple points of view, whereas when Vader comes back to the light side, it just is like, now I'm back to the light side. Peace. Great. We'll talk, Dad. Thanks.
But you know it's funny though? We don't know what Kanan is seeing.
Oh
my god!
That's great. That's a good one.
You're all welcome.
Both of you. You're both horrible people. I think that's a great point. I haven't even really thought of that about his redemption arc. That is excellent. I like that a lot.
I mean, because feel bad for him here, but he's such a little trash baby. Like, I want to punch him in the face.
It's also interesting now that you say that like, we kind of see that happen to him twice, right? We see it happen to him, you know, moving from this really immature, bro-y asshole to the person he is at the beginning of Rebels, and then when he loses his sight and has to, you know, figure out then what his place is in the world and what his place is in the Force, then he has to go through all that shit all over again.
He broods so much.
Oh my god, so much.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's very Harry Potter 5 levels of brooding.
It is.
Wow, that's an aggressive level of brooding.
Did you remember him in the season premiere for season 3? Because he was a hot mess and Hera was about to divorce him. And
yeah, sure. I was going to say, she's always just like sitting on the ship like, I feel bad for him, but also I'm going to murder him. But that's like their whole relationship. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I relate to them on a deep spiritual level.
Yes. So speaking of Hera.
Kate.
What?
You relate to it on a deep spiritual level because you want to kill your husband, as evidenced by the beginning intro of this podcast.
You know.
Kind of. Sometimes.
Anyway, speaking of Hera.
That was funny.
Let's talk about Hera, because Hera has kind of a more subtle arc to her character, but like, I would say it's no less, like she definitely changes just as much. It's just a little more subtle because, I don't know, Kate, you go.
Well, I mean, I really want to talk about this because a common complaint that I hear from the fandom is that, at least in the TV show, people think she has absolutely no character arc, which makes me want to fucking tear my hair out.
But Kate, raise a Mary Sue.
Just end me now. That's it. I'm quitting this podcast. We're done. It's canceled. It's over.
We had a good run.
I feel like you do this every day. This podcast. Oh, you guys hear the train? The train is here.
Toot toot.
The official train of the Book Wars pod.
The official train of the Book Wars podcast.
Oh my god. What I found most interesting about Hera coming into this book is that you see her by the end of season 3, she really strongly feels that her crew is her family, and she's taken on a really ragtag bunch of folks, you know. And as she says in her narration for the preview of season 4, all these people are really broken in a lot of different ways. But the Hera that you see in the book is just, she's all about efficiency, you know. She catalogs all these people in her head about, you know, whether they're going to be useful for the rebellion or not. And if they're not, then she just, like, leaves them there, which is, you know, she doesn't really take that time to be patient with Skelly and, like, figure out what he's really trying to tell her or anything like that. Whereas I think an older Hera would have. I think she would have been more compassionate.
Yeah, I think that's right. Also, we'll find out whether or not I'm reading this. Kurt, I have a good read on this just because I haven't actually read more than where you were supposed to. So Chris can just sit there and laugh at me if I'm wrong and agree with me if I'm right. But she seems so fiercely independent. When we're seeing her, she's just like, I mean, she's there like looking for people to join the rebellion, right? And find out things about. I mean, she's not necessarily. She repeats twice that she's not necessarily there for that,
right?
But you know that's always in the back of her mind, right? But it's funny that it's like she is on this mission alone, which isn't necessarily what we would see. You don't see a lot of non-Jedi going on missions alone in the Star Wars universe to begin with.
Totally.
And you know, Kanan helps her when they're in like the street battle fight, whatever, with the gang. Yeah. And then she's like, peace.
I know. Thanks for I do think that's interesting. You don't really see Hera going a lot of ground missions in Rebels. She's usually like, I'm gonna stay in the ship because we gotta pick y'all up when you're done wreaking havoc.
And she's the fucking best at flying.
Yeah. She's also the best mom. So
yeah, it definitely is a very different Hera in terms of kind of her skill set. Like, you kind of hinted at it. Like, she doesn't go on missions ever in Rebels. Like, she'll fly on missions, but she'll never have a role outside of the ship on a mission.
She rarely does, rather.
Rarely.
She does help.
Like,
she
once
does
or twice.
Plan, though. She does, like, she's a big part of, like, the pre-mission stuff, I would say, which is very important.
Oh, I agree. No, that's totally true, but you see her much more as an operative in this than we ever see before. And, like, it's kind of like her heyday, her younger days when she used to run around and be a secret agent.
Right, totally. That's totally true, which I think is fascinating. And it's just, it's interesting to be at this place also in the Star Wars universe where the Rebellion isn't even really real yet, you know? It's so small that she can't even think of recruiting because most people are just not at that place yet. And it's strange to think about because, the Rebellion seems so big when we first see it in A New Hope. You know, they have this whole base and they have this whole setup of operations. And, of course, at that time, Hera's a general. But that's not so 10 years out, which is, I mean, obviously they have to start somewhere. But it's just kind of, it's weird to see how tiny it really was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this book so far, at least, I mean, has given us a view of that it wasn't just small, it was nothing. I mean, I think Hera comes from kind of a really interesting, unique background of being from Ryloth, which is one of the planets that just, like, has always been, like, has just never made peace with the Empire. And
I mean, like, it's never truly been free.
It's never, exactly, well, until after this Galactic Civil War. It never has been free. And so we get that view of somebody who is used to being a fighter in a galaxy where nobody else wants to fight.
That's so true. Kristen?
Sorry, I didn't have anything to say.
Oh, I just want to make sure you hadn't, like, cut out again.
No, I'm
okay. Okay, awesome.
Don't worry.
Yes.
But yeah, and so, like, just one, like, another thing, just getting back to, I mean, we've talked a little bit about how small the beginnings of the Rebellion are, but, like, you also, to bring it back to Kanan, he wants no part of it.
Right.
Fuck
like,
no, he wants no part of anything.
He uses the Force accidentally. No part of anything. He uses the Force accidentally to save himself and his, you know, coworker, I guess, who he doesn't really like.
Yeah.
Just because it's instinctual. And then he's like, fuck, I have to leave now because I screwed it up.
Right. I really want to actually talk about his day-to-day and what that must be like for him, like, psychologically, because, holy, like, I mean, you know, he always comes across as such a, you know, devil may care kind of guy, especially because, you know, his affect is always so sarcastic and flippant until you get to season 3 and then he's just sad. But, I miss when Dad was happy, okay? And then, you know, you get this introduction of him, you know, again, just being, seeming to super not care, like, gets, you know, he gets tired of Skelly in that elevator, so he just punches his lights out because he doesn't want to listen to him anymore kind of thing. But, and then if you find out in the later, as you continue reading, Miller kind of buries the lead so that you think that this is what his character really is. You know, he goes on to explain how much thought Kanan has to put into everything he does, because, like, when you're a Force user, you're just an extraordinary human being, and you're just naturally like that. And when you're going against your nature, you have to, like, really work against your nature, and the work is work.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I had a point at one point. Oh, I was gonna ask, and Chris, I think you'll probably just, you can confirm or deny, but I assume we learn more about who Hera's working with. Or is she just kind of by herself?
It's Fulcrum. She's working with Ahsoka.
Yeah, I think I don't think we know from who she's working with.
But it's Ahsoka.
But yeah, like, timeline wise, it's Ahsoka. But, like, we don't know, I don't think we hear anything about Fulcrum. So, full disclosure, and this is something I think we'll get into a little bit more in later episodes. When I first read this book, this was one of the first, you know, Star Wars books that I read, and I read it before watching Rebels, and so I didn't know who any of these characters were. And reading it now again, like, you know, being such a huge fan of Rebels, it's completely different. And seeing that characterization and like knowing their background as I do now, it's just a totally different experience. However, that is all a very long way of getting around to saying it very well could have mentioned Fulcrum. I don't remember it because it wouldn't have meant anything to me. I don't remember any mention of who Hera was working with at this time.
Got it. Okay.
But it's got
Thank
to be
you.
Ahsoka.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, timeline-wise, like, it is likely Ahsoka.
Because, like, she kind of, when she's talking about her mission, I'm like, okay, but, like, is somebody sending her on this mission? Is she sending herself on this mission? Is there a reason that right. she's, like, this is only to gather information about the cyborg bad boy who has a name, Vidian? The cyborg bad boy. And not to recruit. And then I'm like, well, if she's working by herself, who's stopping her from doing whatever she wants?
Sure.
Yeah, I do get the impression that she is working for someone. Like, there is, she is part of a small cell, like, very small scale concerted effort.
Yeah. Because she always, it always feels like she has a specific directive. Like, she has to go talk to.
Yes. Joe.
And how else would she know?
Yes. At the Asteroid Belt, which is just a great name for a bar.
Really Come get is. Belted.
Come get belted. So, oh my god, can we name our bar that we open from the riches that we get from this podcast?
Oh, the many riches.
Name it the Asteroid Belt or just straight up name it Come Get Belted?
Get Belted.
Get Belted is good too. Get belted at the Asteroid nice. Belt.
Open a bar / S&M dungeon, name it Belted.
Oh, stop. Why are you like this?
Why are you like this? Oh my god.
I ruined it.
Aww.
Hashtag explicit tag.
We already have
just combined tag. Multiple kinds of social media tags.
Oh my god.
I'm so fucking upset with you.
It's fine.
Anyway, I think I just, like, just derailed us so much that we might as well just stop.
Well, that's the show, guys.
Yeah, right? No, well, but actually, we are at the end of the outline.
Yeah, do we have other stuff to talk about? We okay, favorite Easter eggs are for future episodes, because I know how to read. Great. Sorry. I always get confused when there's stuff, because, like, I don't like hardcore reading outline, because I can't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I know you do, but I'm always like, oh, stuff at the bottom, and I'm like, wait, that's for not now.
Yeah, it's just because I can't remember shit.
It's true.
Because I'm an old man.
Anyway.
Anyway.
shall I wrap us up again? Should that happen?
No, yep. I just want to talk about more.
I know you do. Well, that's what forever. The next three episodes are for.
It's not enough.
It's enough, because as soon as fucking Rebel starts again, she's going to find a way to put it in every episode anyway. We mm-hmm. can do...
Thanks, guys!
Well, we can do... as soon as Rebels comes back, we can do Kate's Canara Corner. So...
Can do what?
Kate's Canara Corner at the beginning or the end of every episode.
Okay. Oh my god. Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
She's into it. It's called the podcast segment. Welcome. She's ready for
yep.
it. We need to work on the name because it's alliterative, but I don't like the letters KKK. But sure.
Yeah.
Ruined.
Not at all relevant to today's society.
Nope.
All right. Anyway, okay. It seems like episode. Again we're just
we're,
too.
We're it's, yeah, so it's Friday afternoon and all of us are like. I can't.
Yeah,
basically. I just off my meds today. I'm like, I don't know if I had like a sensical conversation, y'all.
This has definitely been an interesting one.
I don't.
So anyway,
today. It's
so
fine.
That's
Fuck
good.
You.
I'm weaning off. Oh, great.
That was a noise.
Sorry.
Anyway, thanks for listening. This has been our first episode of A New Dawn. Next, we're going to be reading. Still the same book, A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller, chapters 18 through 36, so the middle third of the book, let's call it. And yeah, we hope that you'll read along with us. Hit us up on Twitter, at BookWarsPod, bookwarspod@gmail.com if you want to email us. No one has actually emailed us yet, but we do check it occasionally.
Tumblr. We're gonna use the Tumblr. We're gonna just spam you with shit posts. because there are so many Star Wars shitposts.
That's right.
Again, Book Wars Pod on Tumblr. And if you don't do the Twitters and email is for old people, then our Tumblr Ask Box is always open. And, you know, sometimes we check that too.
Yeah, send us questions. Send us questions about A New Dawn. Send us questions about Thrawn or any of the other books that we read in the past. Send us questions about Kinara, and Kate will write you a whole thing about why you're wrong.
I've got a fanfic.
Kate will send you her Kinara fanfic.
It's really cute. It's really good. I don't really read fanfiction, but I've read parts of Kate's, and it's really nice.
Wait, she hasn't let me read it. I need to read it.
Keeks hasn't read the whole thing yet.
I haven't read the whole thing yet. I've read parts of it. I get special privileges, Chris. I don't understand why you don't understand that.
Fair point.
I mean, you haven't asked for the full link yet. It's up on AO3. Anyone can find it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm...
Famous last words. You know, our readers are going to find it now. All our listeners.
It's cute. It's not really explicit, right? Isn't it just, like, real cute?
No, there's zero smut in this one.
That's
so.
Right. One Thanks. In a row for Kate.
Hey now. I do not only read smut.
So anyway... Next episode, chapters 18 through 36. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever podcasts are sold.
Tell your friends.
We're really trying to grow the audience.
You can be like, fuck these guys, and rate us 5 stars, and we'll read that on air.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Exactly. We will.
Because we agree.
Seriously, send me some video fan art.
Fuck us, guys. We're the worst.
I'm going to rate us 5 stars and be like, this is trash.
who let this trash
on iTunes?
I host
this podcast and I hate it.
Yeah. Who let these idiots have a podcast?
Yeah. Who died and gave these idiots a podcast? Who died and let Kate lead the discussion on Kinara?
Yeah, right.
You lead the discussion, Kate. You just read the outline and then you have silence and me and Chris go, are you going to lead the discussion?
Yep.
So mean.
Sounds about right. Oh, anyway.
God. Oh, yes. We're mean.
We'll let you all return. we have not actually signed off yet. Thank you for listening to the Book Wars Pod. I am Chris for Kate and Kristen. We will talk to you next week.
Be good, guys.
Kinara.
Chris, you guys cut out. Babies, you're gone.